No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on issues you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I am joined by my co-host, Kathleen Gomez, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. Earlier this week, the Supreme Court ruled to invalidate the Arizona voter registration law. The law required that people registering to vote in federal elections must show proof of citizenship. In a 7-2 vote, the court, in an opinion written by conservative Justice Scalia, ruled that the voter registration provision of the 2004 state law was trumped by a federal law, the 1993 National Voter Registration Act. As you know, in Washington, we take voting very seriously, since we've had to fight for our right to vote and for the most part have remained disenfranchised for the past 212 years. This is also an important issue for my co-host, who lives in a border town and has seen voter fraud up close. So today we have invited two special guests to the show to discuss this issue and shed some light on what it might mean for voting and democracy in America. Our first guest, Dr. Michael Gomez, is a former mayor of a border town in Arizona. In addition, we have with us Johnny Barnes, former director of the American Civil Liberties Union here in Washington, D.C. We are lucky to have two such informed guests, and we hope to have an interesting and informative discussion. Before we get started, however, let me introduce my co-host, Kathleen Gomez. Hi, Kathleen. And as always, thanks for helping get the conversation started.
Hello there, Senator. Thank you so much for having me again. And, you know, this is a big passion of mine, this whole voter fraud. And, you know, what we usually do is I call Senator Brown the day before. We discuss kind of what we're going to talk about. And we got into a very heated, passionate discussion. I'm glad we're still friends after that. Thank you, Michael, that you still talk to me. But at least I was able to vent a little bit and kind of try to get away from how emotional I get about this issue. When I was doing some research on voter fraud versus voter intimidation, because that seems to be the two extremes, it is exactly that, two extremes. The voter, people who believe that having any kind of ID or showing you this, believe that it helps because there's so much voter intimidation at the polls. And then for people who see voter fraud, and it's funny because the people who are on that side believe there's more voter intimidation, there's very little voter fraud. Then the people who are on the side of fighting voter fraud are amazing with the statistics that they come up and what they say. You know, I was looking at all these statistics, and each one says the other one is not telling the truth. So I guess I come from a passionate place because I live in a small town that I see so much voter fraud, it turns my stomach. It just makes me sick because when I go to the polls to vote, I want to show proof that I am an American citizen, that I am who I say I am, and I like the fact that they check it because I want to make sure that my vote counts. And to me, my vote counts by proving that it's me who's voting. So, Mr. Barnes, I really appreciate you being here. And let's start with you. You know, like I was saying, I live in a border town where I have been involved in local politics and know for a fact that people vote fraudulently in elections. Can you tell me what's wrong with a law that proves that you are a qualified elector?
Well, it's interesting because there are two celebrated cases that many have been awaiting the Supreme Court's pronouncement on, and that, of course, is same-sex marriage and affirmative action. But in some sense, this is a case that should be celebrated at least at that level, if not more so, but it hasn't captured the attention that those two cases have. And that is, Kathleen, because the right to vote is the most precious of all rights, because it is from that right that all other rights spring. The First Amendment, which is the cornerstone of our Constitution, it allows us to say what we think, to write what we feel, to practice the faith in which we believe or not, to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for grievances. That amendment would, the power of that amendment would be diminished if we were not able to elect people who were willing to uphold and support it. The Fifth Amendment, due process, same thing. The right to a hearing, the right to be heard, would have less weight if people charged with making laws to interpret it and enforce it were not those who we wished. And the fact that 9 out of 10, 90% of the 31,000 people denied the right to vote in Arizona were in fact citizens is a travesty. And a statement, a declaration that I am a citizen, which the Motor Voter Act, and I was in Congress at the time that was enacted, I was the staff, chief of staff for a member of Congress, facilitates what is the most precious right that we enjoy in America. And anything that stands in the way, I think, and the court, obviously, by a 7-2 vote, thought. Scalia wrote the opinion. Should not be allowed on federal elections. Now, they couldn't say anything about state elections because this is with respect to federal elections. So I think that's the point. 9 out of 10 people who were denied were actually rightfully voters, and they were denied that opportunity.
Well, you know, sir, it's interesting because I live in Arizona where mm-hmm. this law was stricken from. And I would say that I know probably here in Douglas, at least, I would say that maybe, I would say out of the 10 votes that had taken place, maybe 6 were fraudulent voters, people who were voted from seminaries, voted from other cities, who were not citizens of America, because we have a lot of people that come from across the line, from Isla Prieta. They come, they can get a P.O. box. They can, then they get an address. I mean, because nobody checks. I went after an election, the most recent one, checked a 4-block radius, found 4 houses. These houses had not had anybody in them for at least 20 years. Each one of them had at least 6 names to them. And I'm talking everything from a Greek name to a Mexican name to an American name. They did not live there, but they voted in the election.
Well, prosecute those people who lied.
Yeah,
well, you can prosecute the people who lied.
But sir, well, in a town like this, there's nobody goes after these people. I went to the county recorder and told her, I'm going to give you these addresses. You can see that nobody lives there, and there's 7 people from different nationalities or 6 people, and they're voting out of that house. She told me that's not my problem. So I understand that there is intimidation, but I also think, and I think this is what makes this talk show so relevant and that needs to happen, is that we have very 2 extreme sides of this opinion. But I'm a Democrat that was in Washington, and I saw intimidation. Now, when I worked on Michael Brown's campaign, there was a lot of intimidation as you walked up to the polls, but I don't believe that they kept people from voting. Now, I know there are cases where they give you a hard time, but to me, here in the state of Arizona, I can tell you that there is voter fraud that exists, and it's an extreme amount. And with that
let me, Michael, just respond again real quickly. I believe it was Senator Goldwater from your state who said extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. First of all, I don't think it's extreme when you uphold the banner of voting. It's not extreme. It's fundamental. It's basic. one person, one vote has been the law of the land for as long as I can remember. But secondly, the fact that some people might slip through the cracks should not place an undue barrier on 90% of 31,000 people. The Miranda case came out of your state as well, I believe. And that says you have to tell a defendant his rights before you arrest him. Now we recognize that when you tell some seasoned criminals that you don't have to talk to the police, that you have a right to a lawyer, that maybe you know, some may slip through the cracks. Our Constitution assumes that some slip through the crack, but the most important thing is that the overwhelming majority, 90% of 31,000, enjoyed the rights that every other citizen enjoys, and that's the point, that the system is not perfect, but the other way, the other extreme, voter intimidation and denying people who are actually citizens the right to vote is an extreme and far worse.
Well, can I have these statistics now. They probably come from the other side. And I wanted you to tell me if it makes any sense to you that 46 states have prosecuted or convicted cases of voter fraud. 2.4 million voter registrations are invalid. 1.8 million were dead voters. 2.75 million Americans are registered to vote in more than one state. 99 cases of potential felony interstate voter fraud. I mean, it goes on and on. And when I was talking with Senator Brown, he was telling me there's very little voter fraud. And I guess because I would tell you that there was a lot of voter fraud, more than just a few cases. I would say probably half of the votes that happened in this town were through voter fraud. And, you know, it's, can I prove it? I could probably prove quite a bit. So I guess what I am just very upset about is that I know that this kind of voter fraud has changed the way the people that we elected who have changed policies in which this town is governed. And so that is what is so upsetting to me, that there is no common ground for us to say, okay, yeah, there is intimidation and yes, there is voter fraud. How can we come together to make sure that neither one happens? Because I think as an American citizen, I'm proud to vote, but I want to make sure that my vote is counting, because it's me who's voting. And if I go to a credit, if I go and pay with a credit card, I have to show an ID. If I go buy beer, I have to show ID. If I was to buy cigarettes, I show an ID. I don't understand what is so unconstitutional about having a photo, and it can be anything, you know, even your bank credit cards have your photo, to prove that it's me who's coming to you and vote and saying, this is Kathleen Gomez. Here's my picture. This is the address that I live at.
Well, it's unconstitutional because federal law preempts state law. Federal law is greater than state law, and the Arizona state law impinged on the federal law. That's what made it unconstitutional. Federal preemption is a longstanding principle in American jurisprudence and politics. But let me just say, since you threw out figures, there are 13 million Americans who don't have documentary proof of their citizenship. 13 million. And this thing really rubs me, because I know that a lot of people who came up from the Southland, you know, my father, we never knew his age. He never had a birth certificate, and we never knew his real age. And I'm not sure he knew. That's because they didn't keep proper records in the South. And, you know, he would guess his age, and we would guess his age, but we never knew. And he went through an entire life never really knowing how old he was. You know, when you had the oil spill in the Gulf, and the people here, BP established a fund to pay for the damage that it caused. They paid off all the big corporations, people who had slick accountants and could show damages, but little Jane, who kept her records in the Bible, and her preacher knew how much she made, because she tied 20% of it every year. And he knew that 20% of her money always went to the church, and so the other 80% she should get back, because her little fish store was shut down for months and months as a result of the BP spill. But the point is that there are 13 million Americans who don't have proof of citizenship, and what the Arizona law would have done had it been allowed to stand is fueled the people who want to deny others the right that they take for granted, and that's the most precious right that we have.
Well, I'm gonna let Michael. Do you have some of the questions? Because I feel like you, sir. I get very upset the fact that I know that there's a huge amount of people, and I've seen it, that are not American citizens and are voting and have their own agenda, and that bothers me very much. And I think this is what Michael and I talked about. The essence of this show is somehow trying to bring the two different viewpoints together to understand each other and see where they're coming from. And in a sense, I've always been for federal law, but it's hard for me to back that when I see in the state of Arizona what the problem is, and maybe it's only in the state of Arizona. And I don't know, but sometimes I do think that states know what's best for their own people because they are under very different circumstances than maybe other parts of the country. So, Michael, I'll kind of go off of that line because I know you know me. I'm very passionate about this subject, and I'll leave to you to ask the next question. Michael,
are you with us, Michael?
Did we lose him?
Oh, yeah. Which Michael are you talking about?
Senator Brown.
Oh,
are you there, Michael Brown? I guess we lost him.
We
That's amazing.
Him.
I can't believe he left the show.
You have stabbed him, Kathleen.
Okay, right. Guys. Can you hear
oh,
me now?
You are.
Yes, okay.
Now.
Yeah, they lost me temporarily. I got so excited by your passion, Kathleen, that, you know, between you and Mr. Barnes. Well, let me just say, first of all, with when we're talking about anecdotal stuff like you are, Kathleen, that you and I have been Democratic activists for a long time, and we know of all the voter fraud and intimidation that's gone on. And just like you've seen the illegal voting in Arizona, I was in Minnesota and was somebody that watched the polls for the Kerry campaign, and we had several complaints on Indian reservations of people that were intimidating voters. We saw them. They're asking for identification, trying to keep voters from the polls. So we know that voter intimidation is a big problem. And I think Mr. Barnes says it very correctly when he talks about the South, that this is what people on the liberal side are afraid of. They remember poll taxes. They remember qualification of voters, asking questions about democracy, all sorts of things that kept African-American voters who were fully enfranchised and had the right to vote away from the polls. And we saw that for many, many years. And I think that's a big fear about what's going on now with the Arizona law and actually having this be a stepping stone to interfere with our most precious right. And before we get any further into the conversation, there's one thing that I have to say to Mr. Barnes. As you know, our show is one of the main reasons that we have this show is so that people can find out about what's going on in Washington, but also to help enfranchise the people of Washington, D.C. And Mr. Barnes this week helped was a significant player in getting the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, to become a co-sponsor of the new Columbia Admissions Act, which would make the District of Columbia residents equal for the first time in American history by making the District of Columbia state. And since then, two other senators, Cowan of Massachusetts and Sanders of Vermont, have also signed on. So, Mr. Barnes, we'd like to thank you for that. And I don't want to digress, but I wanted to make sure we got that in because it's an important
Senator, you're a long-distance runner and what many believe should be a sprint. That is equal footing for all Americans who pay taxes, fight and die in the wars, bear all the burdens of citizenship, but don't enjoy the most precious right, and that's full participation. It should be a sprint, but it's a marathon, and you've been a long-distance runner, and all accolades and applause are due you.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Barnes. But now let me turn to you, Dr. Gomez. Since we've gotten Kathleen so fired up about this, tell us how you feel. What is the situation in Douglas? Is this just
I was reading the Supreme Court ruling, and it really leaves, to my estimate, a loophole in it, because it says in the ruling that while the court was clearing, stating that states cannot add additional identification requirements to the federal forms on their own, it is clear that some actions can be taken by the state governments if they get an approval from the federal government.
That's right.
When you take regional, you know, when our forefathers made this Constitution and all these laws and everything, they didn't foresee what was going to happen. Now, let me tell you what happened in my region. For years, the Mexican people would rush to our hospitals, and they were never stopped to have their babies in our hospitals. Well, they became automatically citizens of our country. Well, they took them back, and all these people that are still living in Mexico, they found their own ways. The people that came over and had their babies were well-to-do people, and now they all live in El Prieta, and they vote, and they don't live here. Now, let me give you another example. My sister, Anita Rodriguez, has been the president of the Republican Party of the greater Phoenix area. They have a real good network of precinct chairmen. They go to their precinct addresses, and they say, does so-and-so live here? It says, no. They moved away. You know what? They drop them from the voting rolls. They have to go, according to the law. Now, I don't know if this is Arizona. If you move, you're supposed to go and register under the new address which you live now. Now, Arizona, I'm not hoping I'm bouncing too much around. Arizona found that a couple that had two homes, one in Arkansas and one in Douglas, voted twice in the presidential election, and they prosecuted them.
Yes.
And that's abuse of the law that we have the right for anybody to walk in and vote. Now, all these people that I'm telling you that were born in the United States, live in Mexico, and they vote, because I know them. I was born at the time I've been here living all my life. And like Kathleen said, I walked the streets of Douglas to be elected as mayor. I looked up 7 voters registered in one address. I went there. There was no such address. Never was.
Right.
And there was still, and there was no number. It skipped the number. There was no vacant lot, no address. 7 voters, probably from Mexico, voted in my election. Then I went to another one, and I asked, can I see so-and-so? I was trying to get his vote. Oh, he says, he lives in Mexico. All he does is come over and picks up mail that comes to this address, but he doesn't live here. He lives in Mexico. That has a tremendous impact on the people that are running for election here in Douglas. So you don't have the situation. And then let me tell you another thing. There's never been a complaint in this area or in the state of Arizona that I know of that people have been turned away. They always let them vote. If there's a question, they let them vote and they do a provisional. Then they go back and check, does this lady live here? Can she bring us a water bill or a light bill? We'll let her vote. We'll count her vote. But they never do say, hey, we don't have her on the rolls. That happened to my own daughter. She went to vote, and they say, you're not listed as a voter. I said, I've been listed for years. And she said, okay, vote.
We'll put it under a provisional. We do that in Washington, too. We not only have provisional ballots, but the Board of Elections sends out postcards every couple of years to make sure. And if you don't send the postcard back saying that you live at that address, then you're taken off the voter rolls. But that's
okay,
a whole,
let me give you another example. When I ran, I sent about 900 letters to people that I was not able to communicate, registered voters, under their address. I got 600 letters, vote, does not live here.
Well, that's a problem. I mean,
there should be some problem. And that's why we are complaining. Why can't they identify themselves and vote? You see, what happens is this area here that we live in, as this was told by our recorder, as long as they are registered here, they don't care if they've moved to Germany, they can still vote in Douglas.
Well, that's the law. I mean, that's a problem we have in Washington. You can move to Kansas, you can move to England for 30 years and still vote in local elections in Virginia and Maryland, and the only way you can lose your right to vote is, one, to renounce your citizenship, or two, move to the District of Columbia. Mr. Barnes, do you have
something? Let me just comment. I think that underscores the value and the importance that we place on voting. And here's the point that I make to some people sometimes, because I think it's a poignant point. And that is, you could have been living in the compound with Osama bin Laden, and if you were an American citizen and had participated in voting in the past, you could still vote. So you could be right there with Osama bin Laden, but your vote would be upheld. That's how important we hold. And I suspect, Senator Brown, that a lot of this concern has to do I wonder if it would be the same concern if those that were being targeted by this law were Germans or other Europeans. But the fact that they're Hispanic and Latino, I think, plays a certain role in this as well. And we should keep that in mind, that we hold the right to vote in this country very dear, and it's very precious. And if some people slip through the cracks, so be it. But there are ways to keep them from slipping through the cracks, and that should be the answer.
Well, I guess, Michael. Let me just say something. Of those 600 and some odd letters that came back, now this is, you're talking about a town of like maybe 12, 13,000. That's just of the people who were registered to vote. I bet you they all voted. I mean, Mayor Gomez, Dr. Gomez, do you know those people voted, the ones that you got those return letters? And I guess I would like to ask you, Mayor Gomez, I mean, you are Hispanic, so you are from the culture that everyone's very concerned about slipping through the cracks. And I think that there's another issue here. People, Mexicans who actually come into the United States and do it the legal way, you know, I think your dad was granted amnesty in the 1920s or something like that, were very, very strong about being a voter and being able to vote. And, I mean, how do you feel about Mr. Barnes' comment that he just made? Mayor Gomez, are you there?
Yeah. Well, I think that whether there's constitutional rights or if you're Islamic living with bin Laden and being able to vote for the presidency, I think that's, to me, it's a big fraudulent system that has to be changed. Because if you follow Arizona, when they're voting, no one ever complains about being denied a right to vote like they do in Florida and other places. Florida has their own problems. And I think that I think they should allow those locales. Certainly the people can complain and file a suit against if they are legally able to vote. But the thing is that I don't think there's ever been a complaint in Arizona about voter intimidation.
Well, I know for a fact. Look, I worked with Kathleen and I were working together at the DNC when we were part of a case in New Jersey where people showed up at the polls only in African-American neighborhoods with armbands on that said voter officials. They weren't connected to anybody officially. They were members of the Republican Party. And what they did was they started asking people for IDs. When I was in Minnesota, they were sending people out to polling places to write down everybody's tag number. Guys in suits and ties that wrote down everybody's tag number, which is not illegal, but you have to understand that every Native American somehow is engaged with the federal government. So it intimidates them when they see people come out on the reservations that look like government officials who stand at the polls and write down their tag numbers. Sometimes it's very, very subtle.
Well, let me also say that I think that you did not respond to Mayor Gomez's question or ex-Mayor Gomez's question, which he is saying that in Arizona it is different than what happened in New Jersey and in the South. And this is where I think that states maybe should have a right to be able to deal with the problems that are in their region, which can be very, very different than the South, than Florida, than New York and New Jersey. And this is what makes people, I feel, say, why should I go vote? What does it matter? Anybody can vote. Anybody can go in there. You don't even have to be a citizen. And we here in this region know it to be a fact. To me, that is definitely changing the policies that impact the way we live here in this region when people are voting from Mexico. And it is such a known fact. I mean, I can come up with a lot of people who will have witnesses. We have people who go into the booths with people to intimidate them to vote the way they want to. We have absentee ballot frauds. It's just such a big problem here that it's hard for me to listen to people who say that it's not a problem. You know, Dr. Gomez, wouldn't you agree with that? It is a problem for us. Dr. Gomez?
Let me give you another example. There was a council race in one of our wards. When they had that final count, well, it was a kind of a temporary count. They counted all the votes. A fellow won by 7 votes. Well, the next day, the clerk who handles the voting in Douglas happened to find 8 early vote ballots, and the winner lost by 1 vote because the clerk found about 8 absentee votes in her office. Well, I was in the office when they would come in an early vote, and they would just throw them in a box. They wouldn't even throw it in a locked box. And when the people came into early vote, he says, I just wonder if my vote is going to have an influence in this election here in Douglas.
Well, you know, Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I was going to ask my newfound friends, Dr. Gomez and Kathleen Gomez, what did you do when you witnessed these? And I'm not saying you're obliged to do anything, but given your passion, what did you do? Did you report it to anybody?
No, I didn't report it because that fraud comes all the way from the county seat down to Douglas. It's been fraudulent for years, and you have to put up with it because they turn their heads. Now, let me give you another example. Secretary of State says that when you fill a petition, you're supposed to put print, sign, address, and post office box, and date it. Well, they threw in a lot of petitions against me, and whoever collected those petitions just dedoed all the way down on the page. Now, there were two challenges. There was a challenge by mayor in Kingman that was being recalled, and they found out that the fellow that signed the affidavit that he had collected the signatures was fraudulent. So the judge decided, the Superior Court judge up there in Kingman, whatever county that is, decided that if there was one signature that was not collected by that guy that signed the affidavit on the back, lost his credibility, and they threw it out. The same thing happened in San Luis, down there by the border in Yuma.
Well, you know, we have the same
friend
thing here.
Camilla was being recalled, and they threw it out because of registration fraud. There is so much fraud. Something has to be done in this country to give a good report or a good election held by people that have the right to vote.
I just like to add that, Mr. Barnes, I went to the county recorder, and I gave them the address where I found that there were, and there was four houses. You know what they told me? It's not my job to find out who's living in that house. I said, but you are the county recorder. Your job is to make sure that people who are registered to vote are registered that is their house and all that. And they basically told me it wasn't their job because the way that the voter turnout was, it elected the people that kept them in their position. So,
okay. Well, I think there's no doubt in anybody's mind that voter fraud goes on. I think that the real question is, because this right, as Mr. Barnes so poignantly points out, is really the seminal right of a democracy, is it more important for us to protect that right or to protect the ballot box? And that's the question we need to answer. We have a caller. Let's see if we can get a question from him. Is he there? You got the caller, Don?
Yes, I am. How are you all?
Hey, how
Hi,
are you?
Is that me?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
What's your question?
Thank you all. Say again?
Yeah, what's your question?
Are you all talking about the law? My question is, if I understand, Mr. Barnes talked about federal law, superseding state law?
Yes.
Yeah.
My question is, if I understand correctly, the Constitution very clearly states, first of all, in the preamble, which tells you what all the rest of it is for. It tells you who it's for. This is a sovereign country. It says for ourselves and our posterity. And you mentioned the 14th Amendment, people being born here. It clearly says you have to be a subject, you're born here and subject of the jurisdictions. If a person is born here and their parents are not subject of the jurisdiction, then they are not citizens. So my question is, if that is the law, why is it not enforced?
Well, first of all, what you have to understand about the Constitution is that it applies not just to citizens, but to non-citizens. Bring me your weary or tired, those yearning to breathe free. That's on the statute of limitations.
No. That is no part of it. No, that's on the Statue of Liberty, and it is a poem. It has nothing to do with the Statue of Liberty.
But it pronounces what we believe in terms of fundamental rights for all.
All citizens. No, it clearly states in the Constitution. That's what I just said. Now, if I'm wrong,
the
preamble.
The courts have repeatedly said that due process, for example, applies not just to citizens but to non-citizens. You have a right to a hearing before you're deported. Go ahead.
Now, what part of the problem has been? We must ask ourselves, I'm not saying that it is, but we must ask ourselves, do we have corrupt judicial system? Now, we know how it has in the past. You've talked earlier about how blacks have been treated in the country. So we must ask ourselves, why does the court rule as it does? And we must ask ourselves additionally, do we have a two-party system that is running the whole country?
Well, I think that's another issue altogether, and, you know, it falls right in with the enforcement issue. You know, there are very, very strict laws, for example, against voter fraud. So if you're convicted of voter fraud, there are very strict laws that deal with this. And that's another question altogether. I think the big question for us is, should some accommodation be made for areas like the one that Dr. Gomez was a mayor of, where voter fraud may have a real significant impact on local elections, more than it has here? Or should the federal law, should the federal law be applied to those areas as well? And I think the Supreme Court decided that, as Dr. Gomez already pointed out, that the door's still open for the state law, that there are different things that the states can do.
Absolutely. I was going to make that point, Senator. The way preemption works is that so long as state law is not in conflict with federal law, then there's nothing wrong with it. What the Supreme Court found, and again, remember, Scalia wrote this opinion. This was a 7-2 opinion. Only Alioto and predictably Clarence Thomas dissented. These justices know the value and importance of voting, and that's why they ruled in the way they did. As long as the state law doesn't impinge on the federal law, then there's nothing wrong with it. Those rights not given to the federal government are reserved to the states. That's a fundamental part of our Constitution as well.
If I could ask about, we get statehood in the District of Columbia. When we get statehood, American blacks, who are a miscegenated group? We got the black, the white, and the Native American in this. Our people were born here. We're Native. We are new people. We built the city. And we, many of us, can't afford to live here. Illegal immigrants are, and are more, so I guess the question should be, I apologize, I should be asking a question. Should illegal immigrants have a right to live in the District of Columbia when we get statehood over American blacks who are poor?
The immigration policy of America is one that's currently being debated by the Congress, and they've been grappling with it, and issues like border protection and that kind of thing. But you know what happens is that very often employers take advantage of workers, and so.
Exactly.
If everybody was given a fair wage, a living wage, a minimum wage, then there would be less tension between Latinos and Hispanics and African Americans for the jobs. If everybody, if the employers were held to the fire, there are employers that work people, Latinos and Hispanics, especially in these seasonal jobs, and never pay them. You know, I know how it feels.
Exactly.
My brother worked. Me and my brother worked for one of those traveling carnivals for a long period of time, every night till early in the morning, and then the guy skipped town and didn't pay my brother. I mean, I felt so badly that he had worked so hard and the guy didn't pay him. So there are unscrupulous people that I think fuel this wedge that folks try to drive between Latinos, Hispanics, and African Americans. So, of course,
well, it's not about the ethnic.
Excuse me. I just want to interrupt at this one point. And Mr. Tabu, thank you so much for calling in. But I want to kind of gear it back to the thing that's going on with the Arizona law. I understand that there's this loophole, right? That the state can, through the Federal Election Assistance Commission, kind of try to do something like ask a voter ID or something. I'm trying to read it as we talk. But the problem is, right, that this commission is kind of kaput because it doesn't have funding and it doesn't have anyone on the commission. So if Arizona decides to take that step to get in, what would it be, an exemption or something like that to the federal form? There isn't even a commission to do that in now? Because it doesn't
exist?
One of
the things that, the Voting Rights Act has Title V, which goes to federal enforcement. And it's not just the right to vote, but it's any kind of problems. And there are federal resources. And if the problem is as widespread as you suggest, then, there are ways that you can get your representatives, your senators involved and bring some federal resources to bear on the problem, so that folks don't get away with voting when they don't have a right to. Nobody is advocating that people be allowed to vote when they don't have a right to. What we're saying is that let's not have policies and practices that prevent lawful people who do have a right to vote from voting.
But my point was that this commission doesn't have any funding, and it does not exist right now. It doesn't have any members to it. So
the First Amendment allows you to go to your senator or representative and say, we need some money because here's the problem. You can petition your government. The system isn't perfect, but just because it's imperfect doesn't mean that you deny people fundamental rights,
Well, it's interesting to me that you bring up the Voting Rights Act, too, because there's a movement afoot now to have the provision where states that traditionally involve themselves, please correct me if I'm wrong here, Mr. Barnes, but states that really did have laws that worked against especially African Americans to vote are subject to review, and they're trying to get rid of that provision.
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
And it seems to me it's the same forces, and this idea of pitting one group against the other is as old as politics is itself. My favorite politician, one of my favorite politicians of all time, was a guy from Louisiana named Huey Long. And he used to say, there's 100,000 Frenchmen in New Orleans. Your house could burn down. Your baby could drown. Not one of those Frenchmen would give a damn. So taking one group and putting it off against another group is as old as politics itself.
And what is also old as politics is not answering my question. And my question was, if the state has a way to go back after this ruling and say, we want to have, we feel that this is still very important. The way they do it is through the Federal Election Assistant Commission, which is all but kaput these days.
So reactivate it.
Reactivate it. Right. I'm going to reactivate it. But what about the people who are voting, who are pushing for the fact that to strike down the Arizona state law, why don't they make sure that there's something in place for us to go to? I mean, it's one thing to sit there and win, but I mean, in all fairness, this is such a big issue for people in our region. I'd love to hear next time on our show if there's anyone else that feels the way that Dr. Gomez and that I feel. And I think that you have to put in place those things for us to be able to get a fair balance to say, it may not be an issue in back east or in the south, and it's a different issue in the south. It's intimidation. But here, let me tell you, voter fraud is a big issue. So there has to be a fairness. And I just think if the law says that we're supposed to have the Federal Election Assistance Commission, but it doesn't exist, then there's something wrong with the process. And all of us should be as alarmed about that as about anything else also.
Well, I would suggest, Kathleen, that you visit Senator McCain's, one of his district offices. He was a presidential candidate. He knows his way around Washington. And if the problem is as serious and widespread as you say, we ought to do something about it. And I would suspect that Senator McCain would be very concerned about that.
Yes.
There are many aspects of this, and it's true that there are regional problems. We have a problem in Washington, D.C., in that people that come here and understand that they're going to lose their franchise when they become citizens vote in other jurisdictions, which is illegal. We have, and they brag about it, we have a consumer advocate, Ralph Nader, who's lived in our city for, 30-plus years, who brags that he still votes in Connecticut. So we do have some regional problems, and I don't know how we address those necessarily, but I do have to agree wholeheartedly with Mr. Barnes' assessment that since voting is the preeminent right of a citizen, that we need to make sure that that is sacrosanct, that, that no matter what we do, we can't violate people's right to vote.
And I would say with that, that we also have to, as a democracy, and the fact that the right is so precious, make sure that elections are fair and just, and that people feel that if they do vote, it does matter and it will count, because you don't have, in this region, 10 people who are voting that are not citizens. I mean, I think that that's something that has to be looked at, because maybe it's a regional issue, but it's a growing regional issue, I think, in this part of the United States. So I guess it's good that, and Mr. Barnes, I appreciate, you know, your patience with me, but I'm very passionate in that it's very hard when I talk to Senator Brown, too, when he says, but there's very little fraud. It is. There's a lot of fraud.
You know, Kathleen, I believe very strongly in the First Amendment, and so I think this kind of rigorous and vigorous discussion about the issues is the way you make a more perfect union. And you should always speak out. You never know when you'll be right and someone else will be wrong, or when someone else will be right. So I think the genius of the Constitution is that we can have a discussion like this in this country, and there are places where you can't have such discussions. So I believe, and I will defend your right against all manner of or foe to speak out and say what you believe.
Well, I appreciate it. Dr. Gomez, do you have anything you want to say before we actually had such a great conversation? We didn't break for music.
Yeah, we didn't break for our great song. So,
well, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know if this is a constitutional law and when it was passed, and was it passed when the Constitution was originated, that everybody had a right to vote no matter who they were. The only thing you have to do to register is to get a form and put in there, I'm so-and-so, and I live at 2350 12th Street, and I am an American citizen. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. If I die, my wife needs a marriage certificate. She needs everything to get my Social Security. She should have the right to get my Social Security because I worked so hard for this country to make it a good country. But no, she can't get her benefits unless she proves she's married to me.
Well, you know, I think you make our point, Mr. Mayor Gomez, because when the country was started, no, none of us had the right to vote. Kathleen wouldn't have had the right to vote.
That's right.
Johnny Barnes wouldn't have had the right to vote.
18-year-olds could go to war and couldn't vote.
Right.
So we've perfected the Constitution. But to answer your question, Dr. Gomez, the law was passed in 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, called the Motor Voter Act. And it was designed, quite frankly, to facilitate voting, to make sure that there are no burdens on voting, that balloting is free and fair and accessible for all citizens.
But who has, in 1993, I don't think people had faith in Congress.
Well, that's a whole nother show.
It is, right? Because nobody has faith in Congress. Nobody has any faith in Washington. To this day, in fact, one guy said, why don't we get the Chinese to run our country? Probably be a lot better.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that.
I break in the rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won.
Give the people their right to vote.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.